Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Jeremy out, Barry Laminack in for the rest of the week as we roll through a Wednesday edition of the Bees in a suspect matter. Brian McDonald behind the glass. Tomorrow we're going to be out at McCormick & Schmick's in Town & Country. Stop by and see us as we will all be there in person, as well as Will Kunkel. I believe Paul is still under the weather and still probably... not only strep throat, but red ass, I think, because he's thinking he's still mad at us for the other day. But
you dogged him or what?
Different story for another day, or maybe a previous couple of days.
He better not show up if he's sick. I ain't trying to get sick.
Well, he's not. Will Kunkel, I just said, if okay. You're listening with your ears instead of
no,
your ass.
No, you just said you think he's so, he may.
No, it's okay. We'll move on. All right. Did you see I would say that the Henry Aaron tribute was... probably one of the highlights of the evening. Before we get out of the All-Star game and get into some Astros and some other things, I thought that was really well done. I thought that to honor Hammer and Hank in Atlanta and basically recreate home run 715, Milo's call was a part of it, but just all the iconic moments of one of the greatest to ever play the game, thought it was just extremely well done.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. At first things first, I always get a little nostalgic when I hear Milo make the call of that home run, being a Astros fan and a native Houstonian. So obviously growing up listening to Milo call Astros games, it's kind of cool to hear his voice call one of the most iconic home runs in baseball history. But I thought it was really well done, really well put together. And you're right, for an All-Star game that for the most part just didn't capture my attention.
It was flat.
Yeah, I thought it was me. I'm not going to lie. I really did think maybe I'm just getting old. I mean, I am getting old, and it...
I mean, you know, you talk about all the factors that go into it, like, and everything that people want to talk about on social media. One, I'm glad they went back to wearing their original uniforms. Yeah. I like that. The fact that the All-Star game in Arlington, which is already a crap show in a borderline George Foreman grill-looking stadium. Oh, it's right. It's in Arlington. But then you had them wearing basically fast food restaurant uniforms. Mm-hmm. That was a joke.
That's funny.
But... when you look at just some of the other things, the fact that every team has to have a representative.
Yep.
That means the manager has to try and get everybody in the game. So that means the best players aren't going to be on the field as much because you're trying to appease every pitcher, every player, everybody's got to get in, but yet you want a competitive game.
Do you like that?
But what do you want? I don't, but I understand it. Like the bigger picture, again, like we talk about commercials and football and baseball. The bigger picture is... well, you can't have an All-Star game hat for the White Sox if they don't have a representative.
Right.
So they're just doing it to
sell
stuff.
There's no reason a Rocky should have been there, but hey.
Or a White Sox, and the only reason why the White Sox guy is known is he's the pitcher that hit Suarez in the hand, and now he might not be able to be traded to a better team. Like, that stuff to me, I can do without. And if you want a competitive All-Star game, it's just not going to happen. If you know, I mean, and the game itself was so flat that the only thing that basically was a saving grace was people saw the end and thought, well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. You know, I ain't going to lie. It gets me every year. The stand up to cancer.
Oh, it always should.
Ugh, it really does. It gets me every year because I think most of us know somebody.
Oh, for sure.
Or have lost somebody to cancer, or, you know somebody that's had it, or, and, every year, I think I'm ready for it. Every year, I think it's not going to get me this year. And every year, I see it, and man, it's just it's one of those things where there's that moment you just like, wow, that is it's powerful.
It is.
It's powerful to see that many people hold up a sign. Although this year, I noticed, I think more than I've noticed before. I noticed more. people holding up signs that didn't have a name than in the past.
Okay.
And maybe it was just poor cameramanship.
Maybe.
I mean, because in the past, they always just showed people that had a name. This time it said everyone or I'm with you. Or it was like, what?
Yeah, I think that I think from a viewer's perspective, they want to see what the players and the coaches
who they are. But there was a lot of players that just said, I'm with everyone, or this is for everyone.
Sometimes it's personal, and maybe I don't want to tell you about my aunt or
true that. But it just seemed like there was a lot more of, and hey, you know, maybe we're making strides in that department, and so they don't. That's a good thing, is that we're starting to see less people affected by it.
And, you know, the other thing when you got to be careful what you wish for, because I think some of the same people that are talking about the competitiveness of the game, they like the fact that this kid from Milwaukee, the Miz, after five starts, gets in the All-Star game because he throws a hundo every pitch. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And the fact that you have teams the following day after the All-Star snubs are trying to be goodwill citizens of the game by saying, hey, our pitcher should have and deserved to, so we're going to give him the bonus that he didn't get because he wasn't named because we think he earned it. Good on the teams for doing that. Yeah. Bad on Major League Baseball that the fact you had to come back after the fact and try and make good for the fact that we lied, we're lying to you, we're lying to everyone else. You're doing this as a marketing stunt because you got a guy that's super hot to talk about right now that hasn't done enough to deserve to be in the game. But hey, we want to get some run out of it. So instead of the guy from the Phillies that deserves it, we're going to put the Brewer guy that throws 100 in there. And I think that's wrong.
Yeah, they just tried to capture that Skeens magic from last year. And it's not the same. You know, they had it because, you know, Skeens made it in what, 11 appearances or something like that? And so they were like, oh, well, how could we top that this year? Because it was a legitimate 11 appearances where, I don't know if it was 11 appearances, but whatever it was, it was legitimate and showed his dominance, right? It was obvious that, okay, this kid could just fall apart after the break and just be an absolute dud the rest of the year. And you know what? This is going to sound terrible. I kind of hope he does. Not a career. Hey.
He's a Brewer.
Not a career.
Small market team. Great city.
Not a career. Just the rest of the season. I hope he falls apart and flat on his face. And then that way baseball looks like complete morons and idiots for doing it. And that's what they get. Because they, like you said, it was a gimmicky thing that they tried to do.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, exactly. And you cost somebody deserving of it an opportunity.
Wear it for the
fact. Shame on you, and that's what you get. Yeah, wear it.
This is why you're cursed, though.
What?
You're wishing injury upon this dude. This is why you're cursed.
You heard me. You weren't listening.
You weren't listening.
I didn't wish injury. I just said I hope he falls. I hope he just has a bad season.
Okay.
I hope he has a bad second half. I hope he gets
still why you're cursed.
No, I hope he has a 7.5 ERA down the stretch. That's what I said. I would never wish injury on anybody, but you now. I hope you get hurt.
Seems to be in a
I hope you fall out of your chair right now.
That could happen regardless.
I hope you fall out of your chair.
Even without you wishing for it.
I hope you get sciatica. I don't even know if you can get whatever. I hope you catch sciatica. I don't know how sciatica works, obviously.
Before we get off topic, Corey wants to get in here on the fix for the All-Star game. Corey, what's up?
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? Kind of got two things. One, for all the gimmicky changes, I feel like if it's a change big enough to where you have to reference it when talking about the history books of baseball, it's too much. And as far as the All-Star game, the only way to fix it is to go back to the game actually meaning something as far as how we used to have home field advantage in the playoffs or the World Series or the winning league. I mean, if the players care enough that they think they're going to be in the World Series and they're going to have an advantage, you're going to get a better show. I mean, it's as simple as that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Corey. Look, we've had several others that have thrown that out there about making that make sense to me because of the fact that they think that the All-Star game should determine home field. Well, then
I've never understood that.
I hate it, and that's another gimmicky thing I don't like because a lot of guys in the game aren't going to be playoff teams or have a chance to actually have that mean something to them because their team's not good enough to be in the World Series or the playoffs. And then you punish a team that went out and kicked ass for 162 And then you say, yeah, but you lost the All-Star game as a team, even if your guys weren't there or didn't have any part in it. That means you don't
Not only did you lose the All-Star game, you lost it on a swing-off.
Oh, come on, man.
Even worse. Yeah.
Now I'm genuinely ticked off.
Yeah,
you do that. Yeah. No, I can't. Yeah. I can't buy into that one because I hated it when they did it initially. I'm glad they did away with it, and I think it screws good teams.
I agree.
Because it is a team sport, by the way.
Yeah, because then you've got, you know, like you had you've got Skeens opening the game as a Pittsburgh Pirate, bruh. They ain't going to the show. No. You know what I mean? They ain't going to the series. So if he goes out and gets shelled and gives up.
And I'll be honest with
you. Not that he is because he's Skeens, but I'm just saying, like, there's no motivation for that.
I've never
understood that.
If I'm Scooble last night.
Scooble makes sense because the Tigers
are with you. Hear me out. I'll roll with it. I'll roll with the game going however it goes and miking me up and having the, you know, the broadcasters talking to me while I'm pitching because it doesn't mean anything. If you tell me I got the best record in the American League and I'm trying to beat the National League, but you guys are in my ear during every pitch and chance, and then I end up giving up two runs, now I'm genuinely upset. Because at the end of the day, I will call you out, and I will tell you, well, if I didn't have an earpiece and a wire stick and a tickle in the back of my neck when I was trying to get the top three hitters in the National League out, maybe I wouldn't have given up any runs. Now you're really going to have a bleep show on your hands.
I thought it was funny when Kershaw goes, what do you want me to throw, Smoltz? And he was like, cutter. He goes, I don't throw it.
I know,
cutter.
That was awesome. I love the interaction.
I was like, way to know your players.
And I do love the mic'd up. For the most part, I do love the mic'd up. You learn, the players tell you good stories, anecdotes. They got good stuff. I love all of that.
Agree.
But I just think that all the All-Star games are basically unfixable. But don't screw with regular season games because then it becomes more gimmicky than true baseball.
What's crazy is baseball's All-Star game has never been broke. That's what's crazy. It's never been broke. The basketball, broke. Football, broke. Hockey, you're never going to be able to truly fix it just because of the physicality, kind of like football, broke.
How is football
broke? The football's broke because they don't get physical because nobody wants to get hurt. So you can't have the Pro Bowl. Guys are not.
Oh, you're talking about the All-Star game.
Yeah, okay, guys are not going to play physical. Same thing with hockey. Now, the skills challenge in hockey is amazing, but the All-Star game in hockey is trash because of the same reason for football. But baseball's never really been broke because the threat of injury from physicality doesn't exist. So you can have the best pitcher go out and face the best hitter, and they can do what they do. Best man wins.
Yeah, no, I love it's mano a mano with ego involved, where you get the best and the best going at it. That's why I love the first inning or two on both sides.
And you know what's crazy is if it goes extra innings, bro, have fun with it. I was watching SportsCenter one day, and it was like the lacrosse championships or whatever. I don't know what it was, but instead of a coin flip, they rock, paper, scissors. I don't even care. But I think it would be hilarious if you put Judge and Ohtani on the mound and did a best 2 out of 3 rock, paper, scissors for who won the All-Star game.
I think the best part of that would be is the Stephen A. Smith freak out about, why would you throw paper on the first one? You know this, man.
You know. Right?
I mean, why? Why throw paper on the first one?
You know Ohtani is Japanese for paper. Why? But I mean, just have fun with it because, like you said earlier, it doesn't count because we're not doing winning team gets home field advantage. Have fun with it for the kids. Have fun with it for the fans. Do something creative and silly or creative and fun. The players would love that. I guarantee you.
I'm gonna tell
you this. Bro, the player, you don't think the players wouldn't have it? Like, have fun if it was like a PS5 on the big screen home run challenge between Ohtani and Judge or something like that to decide the game after nine innings. Like, come on, man. Just have fun with
it. I've said this before.
It ain't broke.
And McAfee's show and a lot of the cable channels, even inside the NBA, getting to where they're dropping some cuss words and things like that.
Yeah.
You really want to get more viewers involved.
Yep.
It would be not just mic up guys doing interviews where they're minding their P's and Q's. Like, I was hoping last night when they mic'd up someone at first base, what's his name from the Braves? I was
Matt Olson.
Olson. I was hoping that it would pick up the conversation.
Oh, with, we got a cuss word.
You get the runners, you get them kind of and sharing some material. Because I think that's the stuff people, they clamor for, like, behind the scenes. And
they,
like,
they got an S-bomb on Mike when there was a, I want to say it was, maybe it was first inning. When the National League was at the plate on a foul ball that hit the umpire, what's his name behind the plate was like, he's like, "You okay, bro?" Oh, and yeah. They got it. I mean, clear as day. I was like, "Oh, you gotta love hot." Mike.
I think that would be fun fantastic. Too. I think if you did a,
like, that's just a reaction.
You do the Manning casts on Monday nights and things like that. I think that would be really cool if you did. With the parabolic mics that picked up everything on the field,
yeah,
people would pay money to take that feed just to hear the crap talking and everybody going at each other and mm-hmm. the stuff that only the guys on the field hear.
Yep.
I think that would be pretty entertaining. All right, yeah. We're going to turn the page. Let's get to some Astros baseball. Second half is right around the corner. Starts Friday night in Seattle where the Astros will take on the Mariners in what seems to be a pretty big series every year as we get ready to start the second half, quote unquote. But as a fan of the Houston Astros, I ask you this, Barry Laminack, Brian McDonald, and everybody listening. What is your wish list for the second half of the season? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give you hints. I've got my own perspective. What is your wish list for the Houston Astros of what you want in the second half of the season? You can put it in whatever order you want. You guys can chime in as well. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back on the Bees, it's Barry, B-Mac, and Blank as we take until 6 o'clock this evening, talking a bunch about the All-Star Game. Also now turning the page, as I asked you as a tease, what do you want to see in the second half of the season for your Houston Astros? That's just an open-ended question. You can make it as specific or as general. Some people are already chiming in and starting with the fact that some are getting, like, specific on players. 409 says McCullers with a sub-2 ERA and the team gets healthy. So I ain't mad at that. Others are saying, one, get and stay healthy. Two, acquire a left-handed bat at the deadline. Three, win the division and get one of the top two seeds. I mean, I think that's pretty darn good right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty good with all of that. I mean, I think the specifics is where you can kind of do the deeper dive, because to me, my biggest concern is the health.
Amen. That was mine.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the division will work itself out. I think they'll be a playoff team no matter what. I would feel better if it was more than five games, but the fact that they have a five-game lead in this division – I don't know. Someone predicted that.
Predicted that?
Yeah.
What?
Brian didn't pinpoint when, but I think it was the end of May or start of June. We had to cash it or trash it. But I would even feel better.
Joelstradamus?
But I would feel better. What?
Nailed it. Joelstradamus.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah. I would feel much better if he was even more than five, but at the same time, look.
Should have been.
Yeah, I think they're in a really good spot.
Thanks, Hunter
Brown.
The
biggest thing for this team is just get healthy. Like, you get Yordan, who we all know what he's been through the history of this franchise since he's been an Astro. You basically have not had him all year. Mm-hmm. You put that big bat in the middle of the lineup or wherever you're going to put him at the top half of the lineup, and you instantly are a better team.
Listen,
you get any of these pitchers back, but multiples.
Forget middle of the lineup and
rotation.
All that. I just put Yordan behind Walker. I don't care. That's all I want to see. That is Yordan behind Christian Walker, and I think that solves multiple problems in one move. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's back. He's healthy. It's a run producing bat. It's power. It's a left handed stick that you desperately need, and it also means they've got to pitch to Walker. They've got to give him pitches to hit. He's going to see more pitches to hit. He's going to see more pitches in the zone. He's going to get more opportunities. So it solves a ton of problems. And I know that people, you don't want to go back to back left and all that. I don't care nothing about that. I just, look, put your best stick behind Christian Walker. And I love this idea. And it solves You know, because I saw somebody say.
So it's obvious, and you and I haven't talked about any of this. No. It's obvious that you don't think Walker's washed.
No.
Because you know that it's out there simply because of you've got the hangover from Abreu. You know that that happened. It's a very similar deal, same amount of years, same situation of a guy kind of in the latter stages of his career to where everybody is already writing him off. Like, I don't care what his bat speed is. I don't care this and that. I think he's done and they screwed up again. Right. That's the narrative that's out there.
No, I think that with when you have so one, he came in with a ton of expectations and a ton of pressure.
Sure.
Right. And he kind of probably put too much pressure on himself. And I think he's pressed too much for the first half of the season. And I don't think that there has been any protection or enough protection around him in the lineup like he thought there was going to be. And so I know that people love to say you go righty, lefty, and all that stuff. And so that's why, it would make sense to have Yordan behind him and all that stuff. But I don't even think that none of that stuff matters as much as just having protection behind him so that he sees pitches.
I'm going to add something to what you said.
Because here's the thing. Like, if you look at his numbers, right?
Just hold that thought because I want to add something to what you – while you look that up, I was going to add something to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that people do look back – because I do not think he's washed.
No,
and I believe that he's still going to be a very good player on this team for the next couple years. When you said what you said, which is accurate, he wanted to play here. When you get the big money, with that comes the expectation, comes the extra pressure. But then let's not forget about the oblique. Let's not forget about the fact that he was hurt. Right?
Yep.
And so we don't know how long he was dealing with that pain and that, trying to go, well, I can't be hurt. I just got here. They're expecting a lot of stuff from me. They're relying on me. I got to be there, until it got to the point where, now, was it hindering what he was doing up until they finally sat him down? That's one question. Then was he fully recovered when he brought him back? Because again, the one thing you want to do when you're put out is to say, I got to get back. These guys need me. They're paying me to be here. They want, I got to get back. And then you press, you come back, maybe too soon, and then you're never fully healthy. So I just want to throw that in there because I think that does factor in.
No, I 100% agree with you on that. I think that, and don't think for one second that he doesn't know what happened last year.
Oh, for sure. And he knows that's the Abreu story.
Don't think that that's not in his mind that, oh my God, I have to go in here and I have to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to break that, chain of awfulness at first base and be the guy.
Right.
Right. And, I think there's just so much that goes into this, because of some of the time he missed in spring. His spring gets pushed into the regular season, and then there's prolonged slumps. You don't get to pick when your slumps occur.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's washed. Do I think that, he's going to end the season with the same numbers that he's had in every other season? Not necessarily. But I think if you have somebody in the lineup, like a Yordan, behind him, which I know sounds crazy because that means you're going to have to bat Yordan fourth.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that if that means you get him going.
But you also run the risk because the other guys that have been maybe overachieving or performing like they haven't previously –
well, again,
that Yordan at fourth is one thing. Walker being in the three hole is another.
Right, but because what that also means is you've got three right-handed. You're going to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy the baseball feng shui like Dusty used to. I'm
right,
with you
but
on
I
that.
Mean, it, but I mean, but that's going to be. But that's part of what I think that we're seeing them struggle with a little bit right now is they're so right-handed dominant. You get a left-handed bat back, and now all of a sudden right. You don't break it up at all, which is the great thing about getting Yordan back is you would put him at three, right? And so at least you break that up immediately. But you have a part of the key for the second half is you have got to get Christian Walker going. And I think the only way you do that is to protect him. You've got to get more pitches in the zone for this guy to hit and get his confidence back and get his bat going. And that's why I say, I get it. You don't want that whole righty, lefty, righty thing. But if you could put Yordan behind him, they're going to pitch to him.
I just don't want to give more valuable at bats to Walker until he proves it. Like, I don't want to take someone who's struggling as mightily as he is and give him more at bats.
But if you keep him in the third, if you keep him in the bottom third of the order, or even you know sixth, he's never going to get that.
Yeah, maybe.
But isn't that also putting the onus on not just Jordan or anybody else, but like so you're saying you're trying to get him going, but at the same time you also got to get Yiner going
at the cost of what? Yeah. Like I get the idea you got to get Walker going, but at the cost of what? Like putting a guy that's not an automatic out, but I mean, you look at his Baseball Savant page, and ain't a lot of great there. There's only one thing that he has in the great percentile, like, and that's bat speed.
To your point, Barry, assuming we get Pena back sooner rather than later, right? Mm-hmm. And he has been just on a heater. So I don't think you can touch Pena, Paredes, Altuve in front of Jordan because of the fact that they've been so good and Walker hasn't. I hear you. I think he needs more protection. I think that's more putting the onus on guys like Yiner and other guys that have been underperforming that have to step it up as well, because I don't want to touch the top four in that lineup if I don't have to because of how productive Altuve, Paredes, and Pena have been.
Part of the problem with getting Yiner going is he's not going to be in the lineup all the time either, though.
Well, but and Caratini's been a savior because of the fact that he's been way better than advertised.
And that's what I mean. So he's probably going to be platooning with Caratini. So I'd much rather get Christian Walker going, who's going to be your everyday first baseman. He's going to be out there every single day no matter what. Caratini's going to get some time behind the plate because he's always going to start when there are certain guys on the mound. So you know that Yiner's either going to get some days off or some DH time. But when Jordan comes back, when you've got Altuve and you've got Jordan on the lineup and Pena comes back, that DH role is going to be assigned to one of two guys pretty much. It's going to be Jordan or it's going to be Altuve, right, for the most part. So that means Yiner's going to get some time to be able to sit down. And so to me, you've got to get Walker going. He's going to play every day.
And so, maybe I missed this part of your idea here, but who are you moving out of that top four? So Jordan's four, and we think it's been basically Pena, Paredes, Altuve, when healthy, is your 1-2-3. Who are you moving out to hit Walker third?
Paredes.
Man. I can't do that. I can't go with that. Paredes has been just a massive hero to this team and so productive at the top part of the lineup that I'm not going to move him behind Jordan, move him all the way down to fifth. And like to Brian's point, I'm going to cost him an at bat or two per game. I'm not in for all that.
I mean, early enough in the season or in the second half to get Walker going, I'm not suggesting that you have to leave him there the entire second half. My point is, you've got to get him going. And we've seen Joe Espada moves this lineup around enough that it's not like you've got, once you set the lineup, that's it. It's done for the year. All I'm saying is get the dude going. You can move him back to fifth later. I'm just saying you've got to get his mojo back. He's lost it.
I'm not
saying he's got the yips.
But is it not fair to bring up the fact that Jordan hasn't been doing anything all year either?
Which is also why you probably want to hit him fourth. Right, but that's also why you might want to hit him fourth until he gets back into the swing of things. You want him, just throw him at three, and he hadn't had a spring or anything, really? I mean, he's not really done much either, so you're going to give him all the at-bats?
But you're going to try and get two guys going?
Ease him back.
At the price of guys that have been going?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just asking.
No. I mean, it's not ideal. But I'll say this. The Astros were fighting with one hand tied behind their back all season last season because they had a deficiency at the power corner at first base, right? You know that no matter where you put Paredes in the lineup, he's going to hit. Five, I get it. You get less at bats, but that is a run production. That is a run producing slot in the lineup. And so, you know, if you maybe want to put Altuve at one and Paredes at two and put Pena, I wouldn't do it. But look, that's a good problem to have.
Pena's one of those finicky guys, too, where he hits matters.
I wouldn't want to mess with him.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with him at all.
Altuve is the guy who would be like, I'll hit five, but he's producing and driving in runs and hitting for power, so I get it. But I'm just saying, if you don't get Christian Walker going by the playoffs and those roll around, that is a power spot in this lineup that you have to have going if you have any chance of making a deep run in the playoffs.
Go ahead.
Let's go to the HRNP listener line before we get to break. Anthony wants to get in here on the Christian Walker situation. Anthony, go ahead.
I was listening to you guys talk about Christian Walker, and where I kind of agree with you guys on the typical approach, put a better hitter behind them to see if he'll get some better pitches. The problem with it is that I was actually listening to the opposing broadcast, one of the games.
Shame on you. Hang up on his ass.
They were talking about
where they're they're saying that he's facing almost 60% fastballs, and those are in the zone. It, you know, it's not like Yiner who's chasing sliders out of the zone. He can't catch up to a fastball that's, you know, up in the zone. So I don't think that's necessarily going to help. But that was, those were just my thoughts.
No, appreciate it, Anthony. Look, to Anthony's point, one thing that I've noticed, and I know Jeremy and Brian are more baseball savant guys than me, but they bring up the fact that his bat speed's still good. But you can't, it is indisputable that pitchers, in the way that they are approaching attacking Christian Walker, is fastballs up. Fastballs in the zone and up. He is not making contact, no matter how quick his bat is. And that is something that he is getting crushed by this year that I've seen.
So I looked it up while Anthony was talking. Christian Walker's batting average this year on fastballs is .237. I mean, that's, I mean, not that this other batting average is that great, but that's down from .253 last year. So that's 16 points in a year. And guys that should, that are hitting well, should be obviously much closer to .300 on just fastballs.
Straight fastballs, right. All right, we're going to get to a break. We're going to get to much more of this. We got a lot of people that are chiming in. It's a hot topic. People are chiming in, and they're giving us their list, their wish lists. But let us know what you think. What are you? What do you wish for? What do you want out of the second half coming out of the All-Star break for your Houston Astros? One that nobody's brought up so far that needs to be put on the list, and we'll bring that back up to you when we get back after this break. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Okay, back on the Bees. We're talking about Christian Walker, but the bigger picture, which is, what is your wish list? What do you want to see in the second half from your Houston Astros? And what I teased going into the break was a really good point that has not yet been brought up today, which was a huge point to be brought up recently with the Astros, and that is, fix your medical staff. No matter what, fix your medical staff. I mean, I think that it's pertinent because the first thing that, you know, is on my list is to get healthy. And if I'm going to get healthy, I have zero trust in my medical staff right now. And I don't think that the players should have any trust either. So one thing that I said, especially when the Jake Meyers injury happened and the way that it all went down, is enough is enough. Heads got to roll. Changes have to be made. You got to do something, whether it's just aesthetically, just to please everybody that knows this has gone on too long, but more so from the standpoint, both internally and externally. No one believes that the prognosis, the treatment, the rehab, and everything these guys are going through is exactly what these guys need.
You think that this was a lot of these injuries and the problems that they're having is the medical staff's fault, or
the injuries? No, the process of fixing the injuries and getting them back on the field, I don't know how you can say otherwise.
Interesting.
I mean, you think that every time, and everything we hear from Dana Brown and everything we hear from Joe Espada and everything we've heard along the way is they'll be back at this time, and then they're not, and then they're not for a significant period of time. And then on top of that, we heard specifically in the Yordan situation where they learned from their mistakes because they weren't imaging frequently enough to realize where the bone was, how healed it was, and where they were in progressing towards getting back on the field, which is inexcusable for professional athletes.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Do you think, though, that some of this is like a – do you think that this is not the Patriots way, but the Astros trying to do the Patriots way type thing?
How?
Where they try to be mysterious with their forthcoming of information on injuries.
But that's two different things, Bear.
Well, they're just trying to throw you and their opponents off their off the
scent of the
injuries.
If it's gamesmanship,
yeah.
That's one thing. But it's not, because of the fact that you can go all the way back to all the McCullers situations. Why isn't he having surgery immediately? Well, we don't think he needs it. Well, then, you know.
Do you think that the players, though, have something to do with that, too?
No, because I think the players are frustrated, too. I've heard from
sources around the team that the players were flat out embarrassed in the way that it was being put on them as to how things were handled. And when it wasn't handled correctly, take the Tucker incident for the whole Tucker thing last year. Tucker, it was a bone bruise. He was supposed to be, they were at home on a Wednesday. They opened up a series in Anaheim on a Friday. The reports we were getting was, we think he'll be good to go by the weekend. He'll be on the trip to California. Next thing we see, he's in a walking boot and trying to go out and celebrate with his teammates. And 3 months later, he's still not on the field.
Yeah.
Again, how many pitchers?
But again, that could just be them not giving us the correct information. Maybe they knew that he wasn't going to be out there.
I
think that argument, though, falls apart, Barry, when they send guys like Jake and Yordan back out to the field. Like, if it was just...
Now, that I agree with.
Yeah,
the whole Jake thing was a fiasco.
Yordan. I mean, and Pena. I mean, they had Pena hitting off the tee and lifting weights the next day. Like, so I get what you're saying. There probably is an element of we don't want to give the media the actual truth because it's gamesmanship, whatever. But when you're sending guys out before they're ready and they're re-injuring or the bone's only 60% healed, then the argument kind of falls
apart. And then as to double down on that,
both can be true.
Yeah,
right?
But here's the thing. Okay, but then by doing what you're doing in the cases that Brian just brought up, when you said that they should be back on the field by this date, now you've experienced a setback because you rushed them through trying to get them back sooner. They re-injured or delayed the progress that was being made in Yordan's broken bone or in Jake's calf or whatever, and everything with Pena's rib. And now suddenly, instead of the initial diagnosis of he'll be back by the All-Star break, now you're looking at the end of July. You're looking at August. You're looking at extended time tacked on because of the way they handled it.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't have a good excuse for him.
So
I'm
that's
not going
to
make one.
So that's why I think it's a valid point to put on anybody's list. I want the team to get healthy, I think that you've got to get capable medical people to do the job. And it's embarrassing if you're Joe Espada and you're out there saying, we think he's going to be ready by Friday. And then Friday comes and he's like, can't even swing a bat. And you're like, I didn't say which Friday. Maybe it was a Friday in August.
You know? The Friday after next.
Yeah, and then Dana Brown saying, well, you know, we really feel good that we can push him through the process we can get him out there sooner rather than later. And then by doing that, he actually re-aggravates his hand. He's still in pain. He needs more imaging. He needs a second opinion. And now instead of having Yordan back right after the break or sooner when we thought he'd be back by the end of June, we're looking at probably August if we're lucky.
See, though, that's the thing, though. What you hit on there with Joe and more specifically with Dana, I'm not trying to take blame away from the medical staff. They certainly have deserved their fair share of it. Oh. But I think there is an element. Thank you there, Barry. Karma. That's why you're cursed. But I think there is.
Sciatica.
I think there is a portion of this where we've heard like the messaging coming from Dana specifically, where he says, "Well, it's just pain tolerance. That's the issue here. He's not actually really that hurt." Like there seems to be at least a little bit of a culture of rushing players back within the Astros front office. And that I don't put that on the medical staff. Certainly the medical staff should be doing more imaging, but you still have to question, well, who's telling them to, hey, go image that player? Like, I don't know if the medical staff is doing that on their own, independently of anyone in the front office. So I'm not willing to excuse the front office in this.
But Brian, I'm not excusing anybody.
It's got to be Bagwell.
It's Reggie. It's Reggie.
And Reggie's not there anymore. Otherwise, you can blame Reggie. Reggie's gone now.
These guys are kitty cats. Get out there.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to pinpoint it on just the medical staff. I'm saying everyone involved has egg on their face. Dana, I said this multiple times. Dana, this is on your watch because everything that happens with the players, with injuries, with treatment, with the medical staff, it falls under the umbrella of the general manager on the baseball side. If I'm Jim Crane, I am embarrassed beyond belief that my team now, which is my pride and joy, that I want to be run business-wise, baseball-wise, and otherwise as a huge success story within sports. And no one looks at the Astros and goes, boy, your medical staff is top-notch. Boy, you guys aren't costing yourself any games, wink, wink, with the fact that you've lost Yordan for most of the season. You've lost all these pitchers. Every time that the Tommy John surgery is supposed to be a success, they are setbacks. It takes longer. Some need second surgeries. Like, it's all part of the bigger picture, which is from an Astros perspective, from Crane on down, everybody's got to wear some of it, but no one's doing anything about it.
That's the concerning part. If you have a team who is riddled with injuries like this team is and has been now for one plus years.
Well, you're selling yourself short. With all the pitchers, with McCullers multiple times.
Yeah, well, some guys are just
Verlander, remember when they didn't want to admit that he needed Tommy John?
Yeah, but some guys, I mean, look, in the case of McCullers, I feel bad for the guy because I don't think he relishes this thing, you know, this journey that his career's on. He's got that dog in him, and he wants to be out there. But, you know, some guys are just brittle. And it sucks, but that's just how their body is. And I think he's just has an unfortunate body. But the last year and a half or so, this has been an injured team. And they have missed a lot of key and important players, especially on that pitching staff. How many times? I think I did an exercise on my show where I went and looked up the number of Tommy John surgeries in baseball.
Oh,
since like 1970, what was it, 74, 79, when the first one, when Tommy John got it. And then in the last year or year and a half or 2 years, the Astros by far lead baseball in Tommy John surgeries.
But as a,
and that's a problem because here's the thing. We always talk about, wow, look what the Astros can do with pitchers. Look how the Astros take these guys from these other teams or off the scrap heaps and then put them out there and they take lemons and make lemonade. That's great, but maybe that's also the problem.
No, it's right? A bigger picture problem so, because there's the numbers saying, last year of all pitchers in baseball, 33%+ needed Tommy John last year.
But I'm just saying
that were in the game,
right?
On
every team. I'm just saying maybe there's this correlation and the fact that maybe they are not taking care of their players properly, both how they're teaching them how to pitch and medically.
Yeah, but you can go, Barry.
Is this a coincidence? Maybe so.
Tyler Glasnow, other pitchers have said, you don't allow us to use any kind of tactified substance that allows us to control the baseball. We got to grip it harder and still are expected to spin it faster. And all of that is taxing on our arms. And that's why you see the uptick. And then you throw in the pitch clock and everything else. And you see a huge uptick over the last 2 years in particular in how many guys need Tommy John and have their
arms
break.
There's actually a guy that tracks Tommy John surgeries. He's got a Google Doc.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised. And I'm not suggesting that, they're doing it on purpose. I'm just suggesting that...
Okay, but Barry, here...
Because we even talk about, like, with kids throwing curveballs at a young age, how it can hurt their elbow as they get older. And we also talk about, you know, how they... Kids are throwing, you know, they're not just throwing fastballs. It has a lot to do with it, I get it, but maybe that's part of this Astros magic is it has an indirect effect on there. Because
I am a bit surprised that I found someone to defend the medical staff. But here's my thing.
I'm not defending the staff.
Let's
not defending the staff. I think the last year and a half proves that this Astros team has had a lot of medical issues. I'm not defending the staff.
And they lead all of baseball and guys on the IL right now. But let's take Tommy John out of it. Let's take the position players out of it. Let's look at Spencer Arrighetti. Spencer Arrighetti broke his thumb. There is nothing structurally wrong with his arm. Spencer Arrighetti, when he broke his thumb, was already supposed to be pitching again for the Houston Astros. The timetable we were given, the fact that it was simply a broken thumb, we were told that he was going to be back probably, I think, in June. But now here we are, after the All-Star break in July, he's still not pitching. And no one's giving us anything as to the reasons why. We were wondering, like, why are they slow rolling it? What's the delay? Why isn't he throwing in games yet? Wasn't he not doing? You know, J.P. France is a different story because it still was some, you know, to some degree, it was arm surgery. But you look at all these different cases. Garcia has been shut down multiple times. Suddenly, Garcia, who had his surgery well before Javier is in front now of Garcia and when he's expected to be back. Garcia, you just don't know what
you
don't know.
But he started throwing, and then he felt soreness, and they had to shut him down. Do you blame the medical staff for that?
You might. Who did the surgery? Here's the thing. The Yankee surgeon is doing most of the surgeries across baseball. I don't care if he represents the Yankees, too, and gets paid by them. There's a reason why he's doing all these surgeries.
Okay. And now I hear you. I do. And I'm not – I hear you. But you – and you were on the inside. You know this too. Is this a wholly a medical staff issue, or is this also a PR and information dissemination issue?
It's all the above. Because you know how many
you
times
keep you... saying it, and when you say it, all I hear is they're not giving us all the information.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that we've been told what the process is, but we've been told by multiple people. We've been told when you look it up on the internet and say someone that's done this, expected recovery time was within this window. And the Astros always missed that window on the out longer side by a great deal.
Because maybe they're not telling us the right thing is my point.
So, okay, and I know you're a big fan of the D word. And the fact that that from the standpoint phrasing. Of all we've what heard the from hell? The PR staff is discomfort. What the hell is
again,
that?
Again.
Okay, but I'm taking your point, but I'm taking it to mine, which is the PR staff has to do better.
Yeah.
But
bing.
The medical staff and the rehab staff have to do better. And the fact that maybe it's just the first diagnosis and when you do imaging and how much imaging you do, it all. That's why I said a couple weeks ago on this show, I said they have to do a deep dive. And they have got to uncover every stone, and they have to completely look within on every bit of this and redo everything. Because what they're doing and the way they're doing it right now, it just ain't working.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you on that. I do not disagree with you on that.
Okay. Because, and like you said, I know that, sure, every team in professional sports, for the most part, has a hospital sponsor. That doesn't mean you have to use those doctors, right? Like when I was with the Rockets... We got a massive deal out of a hospital sponsor. But the first thing that was worked out before the deal was even signed was we're not leaving the doctors that we use when it comes to like significant like the knee injuries and certain injuries that are key in basketball because you got the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we're not giving up being able to have access to the best doctors in the world and giving our players the best attention in the world just because we signed a deal with a hospital. And I don't know if that has anything silly. To do with it, but I'm just saying the fact that I'm like losing my mind when you hear that they didn't do enough imaging on Yordan. He's your best flipping player.
That's crazy.
And then we found that's the bone negligence. That's broken, but it's 60% healed. There's a thumbs up.
Broken
we didn't
thumbs
do enough
no
imaging.
Thumbs up.
There's
not,
a broken
not,
thumbs
not
up.
Sure yeah. Back. Yeah.
There's a broken yeah. thumbs up.
Did
by the
I
way,
mean
I, looked,
that?
I,
no,
I looked up the injury date on Arigetti. He injured that on April 7th.
Yeah.
I mean, broken bone should be, what, 6 to 8 weeks?
That's what I said.
That's first week of June. We're more than a month past that.
Exactly what I was harping on. Mm. Like, that is
something doesn't add up.
Like, that's one thing if that's your kid, and you go, well, Junior, a couple more weeks in the cast. What are you going to do? Well, we'll make sure it's good. That's your number three starter.
Yeah. Sorry, Astros, I tried. I mean,
so we've got a lot of people that are getting their list, but I think, to me, it starts with just getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even being like grandiose and saying I want all the pitchers back. I've said if I just get two of them, if you just give me two of those key guys for your rotation, now your bullpen's better, your rotation's better.
Do you have a preference?
I mean, look, I think I don't know what I don't know about Garcia, which worries me. Otherwise, it would be Javier and Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
But I would take Arigetti and Javier right now.
Okay.
If I got a Javier and I got Garcia, with what I've already seen out of guys like you can move Gusto to the pen, like the fact that Gordon's been serviceable, the fact that Walter's been way better than anyone could have thought.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Yeah, that's where we started, and now we're looking at a guy like Walter where you're like, hey, this dude can pitch.
Man, I thought you were about to play it uncensored. I was like, what?
Yeah. So you look at all that. Your rotation's better, and then you just look from a lineup perspective. If Jake and Peña and Yordan come back,
he's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
Yeah, that freaking lineup right there, that can hunt with anybody.
Here's my concern, and this is just a random thought on my part, but, man, I'm so nervous that Jake's going to come back and just not be Jake again, or not be the Jake that we've seen this year. He's going to be Jake.
See, Jeremy and Jake, I and Brian, I've never been a Jake fan at the plate.
You know I'm a big regress to the mean guy. I always use that term when we – did our show.
Yes.
And I said it about the other Jake Mariznick, when he would go on a hot streak for a month and people would be like, that's the guy. And I'd be like, eh, just give him a month. He's going to come back down to earth. And I thought that about this Jake and has been pleasantly surprised. But something like this and an extensive amount of time off can cause.
Now, Jeremy and BMAC, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Jeremy and BMAC have said, isn't this a big enough sample size to think that he to me, I'm with you. I've said all along that I've never been a fan of Jake at the plate. What I'm seeing right now, I'm loving, but do I believe that it's going to last for the rest of his career or even the rest of this year? I'm with you.
Look,
I don't know.
I heard on a broadcast that that's what they said. I think they said that the Astros feel like this is a big enough sample size to believe that this is who he is. That was what a broadcaster said on one of the broadcasts for the Astros. So maybe that's what they believe.
Here's the thing, too.
Right?
Does that mean that's what it is? Can't you say the same thing about Pena? I felt the same way about Pena. Ever since he got MVP of the American League Championship Series and the World Series, I said, if you set your expectations that that's who Jeremy Pena is going to be, you are so far off. But then what we saw was, to your point, to my point, which is Jeremy Pena showed us for the majority of his career who he really is. He's about a 248, 250-some hitter. He's going to be okay, right? He's not going to be great. All of a sudden, this year, he's great. Now, you're going to convince me that we've seen enough sample size that for the rest of his career, he's going to be great? Because I don't feel that way. I hope that way. I don't feel that way because of what I've seen over the last several years.
Here's the difference, right? Here's the difference. Sorry, did you?
No, let's get it to the other side. We'll continue to do
Okay, I was going to say, there's a difference between the two, and it's a big difference.
Okay, so we can continue to do that. We can talk about the fact that what are your expectations just on those two guys coming back too, and do you expect them to stay as hot as they were, or do you think that they'll fall off? And then again, get us your expectations for what you want to see for this team in the second half coming out of the All-Star break from now to the end of the regular season. It is 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. We've got 60 minutes to go on the show. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.